The book of Revelation, chapter 6. You remember from the last chapter we had been introduced to this book with seven seals on it. This book, which had writing on the inside, on the outside, on the backside, it was full of writing, full of information. And now in this chapter, the sealed book, which has now been given to the Lamb who is worthy to open it, is going to be opened. Chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." Verse 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. In the first seal Christ opens, we see the first of the four horsemen. The four horsemen are the most iconic images of the book of Revelation. When you mention the book of Revelation for many people, the first thing that comes to mind is the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They're so iconic that when I put my Revelation album together for the first 11 chapters of Revelation, I had to use the four horsemen on the cover because it seemed to me the most iconic image from the first 11 chapters of Revelation. So the Lamb opens the seal, one of them, and then the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts calling the prophet over to see, "Come and see, come look, what is here?" And he sees a white horse. In the 19 of Revelation, when Christ comes, he rides also a white horse. Some people will say, well, this is Christ. Or others will say, this is Satan. But there is one thing you can be certain of. This is a conqueror riding on a white horse. He went forth conquering and to conquer. He went forth prospering with the purpose of prospering in his conquering. He is given a bow to shoot with. But first of all, let's see, how do we think about this? This is sealed information in a book which is sealed, which only the Lamb can open. So he opens this seal, and this is what the prophet observes, a white horse. And he has a bow. Now some people, I remember my old teacher used to say, "but no arrows." It doesn't say that, "but no arrows." We can assume he might have arrows. There's nothing to say he had no arrows. It's an argument from silence, just because it doesn't mention the arrows. Bows usually come with arrows. It's like saying he had a gun, but no bullets. Well, why would you say that? He had a gun. Unless you say the gun is empty. You don't say he had a gun and bullets. You know, I mean, because that's the ammunition for the gun. If you give someone a gun, ammo is sort of, it doesn't have to be described for you to presume that it's loaded. I mean, I consider anyone pointing a gun at me, I presume that that gun is loaded. I don't presume, well, unless he specifically declares, "I have a gun here and this gun has bullets in it." No, I don't wait for that information. When I see the gun, I presume the gun is loaded. And when the Bible says that he has a bow, I think it is safe to presume that the bow has arrows. Unless it specifically declares he had a bow, but no arrows. Well, that would be intriguing. He was given a bow, but no arrows. That would sort of imply some sort of impotence, like he was an impotent power. But I see here he is given a crown. He is given a crown and goes forth to conquer. This is not an impotent conqueror. This is a conqueror with power, with authority. A crown is given to him. Who gave him the crown? The crown is given, as you know, the scripture says, that all authorities are ordained of God. This conquering rider makes you think of all the other conquerors in the Bible. Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger. And even Christ, who comes to smite the earth with a rod of iron. He is the discipline and force and power. All these conquerors, images of conquerors, Christ on the white horse, Nebuchadnezzar or the Assyrian or any conquering king that comes, it harkens back to all the prophecies. God, when he ordains that a conqueror shall come and conquer, when he ordains that a conqueror shall overcome even his people, it shall be. A significant portion of the book of Jeremiah is about Jeremiah trying to convince the people of Israel that you are going into captivity. And then there are these false prophets who come along and say, "Oh, no, no, you're not going into captivity. You're not going to go into this time of trouble. No, but we will go and make an alliance with the Egyptians, or we will make an alliance with this other country. And then, oh, we will fight against the king of Babylon and he will be turned back We're going to break his yoke. We're going to break his bonds. He's not going to be in control of us. He's not going to dominate us. We're going to fight against this. And that is a very common response to when God sends forth a prophet and says, this is the bad news, guys. The conqueror is coming, and he's going to conquer. He's coming conquering and to conquer. God has given him a crown. He has said, this man shall rule even over my people. This is the man I have given to dominate the world, the nation, whatever. I have given it into his hand. And man wants to resist that. So often we see this, and even in Christianity today, they all get up in arms about the New World Order. Now, I'm not saying that we should necessarily give ourselves over to world government or whatever, because I don't have any message from God that this power that is trying to overcome us is a power ordained of God to achieve that. You know, like Hitler, you look at Hitler. Hitler was given some sort of power to make war, you know, but it was not given to him to rule the world. And so when they fought against him, he was defeated. But in the end times, in the final picture, when the last prophecies are coming to pass, there will be a conqueror coming. And it is a conqueror ordained of God, and power is given into his hand, and a crown is given him, and he shall rule. I always think it's amusing when I see Christian films created showing that what is the resistance to Antichrist? It is, oh, we're going to get machine guns and dig ourselves in against Antichrist, against the king whom God has given the crown and the arrows. I pray that they may come into line with the will of God, and that God reveals it to us in time what we ought to do. Christ said that they that live by the sword shall die by the sword. And that's true. And he also told us that we should be peacemakers, and we should turn the other cheek. And you see how he resisted not as they led him away to death. But that was the will of God. There was also a time when he said, you remember when this is from the book of Luke, I believe, chapter 22. He says, remember when I told you to go out and I said, don't bring a scrip, don't bring a extra pair of shoes or two garments, etc. Did you lack anything? They said, no, Lord. And he says, well, now I say to you, basically reverse all that. And if you don't have a sword, I recommend you go sell your garment and buy one. Jesus recommended that they should buy state-of-the-art weaponry. And at that time, because everything is beautiful in its time, there is a time to resist evil with physical force. There is a time also to give ourselves over to it, where it is given unto us not only to believe on Christ, but to suffer for his name's sake. But we know the difference based on when God's Spirit is in us, telling us what we ought to do in those situations.